Blog Talk Radio.
Self-respect, intellect, increasing our knowledge to keep ourselves in check.
Positivity is all we need. Together we will
thank you for listening each and every week to the Rise TV show, and also those who listen to us during the week on podcast. And, of course, the show will be available each after every show for podcast, and you can pull it up through the link that you see on your Facebook and also through Twitter and blogtalkradio.com. And, as always, we are sponsored by Tranquil Mind by Rise Massage and Wellness, and want to remind people that we do have a new location on 304 East Diamond Avenue in Gaithersburg, Maryland, so those who live in the District, Maryland, Virginia, can stop by to inside the ProFit Health and Fitness Center, and that is a good way to get your massage and wellness needs in a convenient location. But we also still do the mobile massage and wellness. So if you would like to schedule an appointment, you can tweet me at RST44. You can go on to facebook.com/TQMind and schedule an appointment. Or, as always, you can make a phone call, 240-778-5219. So look forward to hearing from each and every one of you. Once again, that's Tranquil Mind by Rise Massage and Wellness. And I want to start off this show before we get into today's topic with just a couple of some of the different things that are going on. Of course, the past couple of weeks, people have been hearing the updates on Hannah Graham, the young lady who was missing in Charlottesville, Virginia. Allegedly, they found human remains that they suspect to be hers. So I'm sure this is going to be a national news story for a very long time. However, there is still Felicia Rudd, 7 months later, still has not been found. There are the two young children, 4-year-old and 2-year-old, here in Montgomery County, Maryland, that has still been missing longer than Hannah Graham, but this does not get the national news recognition as Hannah Graham did. And we all know, we all have a good idea of why that was the case. However, I guess at least there should be some semblance of closure for the Graham family. And now hopefully they can move forward and start pressing the issue of trying to find these other children that are missing throughout the country. And maybe one of these children stories will become a national news story, so that way it can bring light to the number of missing children that are out there, and hopefully we can find these children and bring closure to their families. So I wanted to get into that first before I get into the topic of the night. And the topic story is called Vote or Die. A lot of people remember the campaign that Sean Puff Daddy Combs did back in 2008 to try to promote change in the voting system and trying to boost voter registration, and also try to bring light to a lot of the different topics that were going on in the community. So when I thought about this, I know the election is 2 weeks away, and for those who have not registered to vote, it's more than likely too late to register to vote. If you have already registered, then early registration and early voting should be coming up within your state as early as tomorrow for some, as in the Commonwealth of Virginia. And later on this week, a lot of other states will be open for early voting. So please take the time. If you cannot make it out there November 4th, start putting in your your ballots now so that way it can be counted and there's no hassle and there's no delay in your vote. And this particular year is a midterm election, and a lot of people look at midterm elections as it doesn't really matter. But this year, this is the tipping point between the balance of power in Congress. So it's very important to listen to the different platforms that some people have. And going into the last month of the season, there wasn't really a full platform that people were talking about. The Republicans were on the front of blaming Obama for everything. The Democrats were just trying to say, look at where we've been, and it's important to get Democrats in control of the House so that way things can be pushed through and things won't get stalled. That's pretty much how it's been. So there hasn't really been a hot-button topic, quote-unquote, that people can grab onto until the pending pandemic of Ebola came to be. Now this is the hot topic in a lot of political races. A lot of different people who are going to vote are using this as a tipping point or as a speaking point in order to help boost their votes, in order to boost their campaign. The big example of this, a big case in point, is in North Carolina. North Carolina right now is looking to be the most expensive political campaign in the history of the United States. And figure all the different senatorial and congressional campaigns that are going on. It looks like the battle in North Carolina is going to be the most expensive, it's going to be the most heated, and it's going to be one of the closest in the country. So for those who are listening from North Carolina, it's really important to understand what is going on. Now you have the Republican, Tom Tillis, going against the incumbent Senator Kay Hagan. And in this particular case, Hagan was winning for a long time in the polls. Hagan was in the lead because of her platform saying that I'm doing a good job. You see how we're trying to push things through in the Senate, but the Republicans are trying to shut us down, so vote for me and not vote for the Republicans. That way things can keep moving. And things were looking well with that campaign until the Ebola crisis came to be. Now Tom Tillis has jumped on the bandwagon of Ebola and trying to put every single Republican hot-button topic into a package and wrapping it around Ebola. He's using Ebola for the need for private health care, saying that Obamacare isn't good enough to handle if an epidemic of Ebola happens, there'll be a panic mode and people wouldn't be able to handle it through Obamacare. He's using it in immigration aspect, saying that we should shut down the border of West Africa and make sure that, he says, if he gets into the Senate, he will help shut down the border of West Africa and contain the Ebola crisis where it does not cross into our border. So he's using this as an immigration thing. He's using this as a battle of Islamic State, basically saying that if we allow more West Africans to come over to this country, then that will create a highly Islamic State. And with this Islamic State, will destroy our country because they're bringing Ebola over here as a means to destroy Americans. This is the platform that Tom Tillis is using in North Carolina. So when you think about this, and you think about, okay, this was a guy that wasn't looking like he was going to do something or make waves in this campaign, and now things are getting tighter because he's using Ebola as a crutch. This is absolutely ridiculous. And he's using all of this aspect as a wild card to make Ebola more important than the platform that he has. And people are listening to it because people are afraid. When people get afraid, they make irrational decisions. And that's what's going on. And what Tom Tillis is doing, he's blaming the president for all of this. He's blaming the president for not shutting down the borders. He's blaming the president for Obamacare. And he's blaming the president for the lack of command and lack of a commanding sense when it came down to what the Ebola crisis was all about. And unfortunately, the Hagan campaign was not prepared for this. And a lot of the Democrats are being blindsided by this campaign strategy. The Republicans were scrambling. They didn't know what to do. They were afraid that they were going to lose the House because of the fact that they really didn't have a campaign to stand on, and now they're using the campaign of fear in order to boost their Republican platform. And it's working, point where the Democrats are trying to figure out what to do, because they're afraid to side with the president in regards to what the campaign is all about, because of the fact that he has, you know, haven't really had a strong position in what is going on with the Ebola crisis. So that's one thing. The Democrats are saying, yes, we know, you know, the CDC dropped the ball on this, and then we're trying to figure out exactly what's the right thing to do, and they don't want to criticize the administration, because criticizing the administration makes the Democrats look weak. But at the same time, they don't want to side with the administration, knowing that the CDC really didn't step up and do their job. So this put the Democratic Congress in a bind. How do you properly fight this avenue of fear that the Republicans are using to boost their electorate and not come off as confused or bewildered? And in North Carolina, it's showing that this is a big issue. After all the money that Hagan has spent down there on campaigning, on commercials, on funding, you know, Hagan was really taken aback and taken off guard by the attack of Tom Tillis during this recent congressional debate that happened over the weekend in Charlotte. And all that money, now she has to figure out in 2 weeks how to switch the strategy in order to make sure that it refocuses on the issues, refocuses on the economy doing better, refocuses on the gas prices going down, refocuses on the lowest unemployment rate that has been in over 10 years. This is getting lost because of Ebola. This is getting lost because now the Republicans have something to back themselves on, and it's working, and it's very effective, and it's easy for the Republicans to do. They don't have to spend a lot of money on this, spend a lot of money on trying to create a platform. And when the Republicans see this, Republicans jumped on this immediately, saying, here we go, we have a platform now. People are afraid, fear. Fear is what the Republicans have used for years when it came down to winning votes in Arizona, in Texas, in New Mexico. Their focus was mainly on border control, immigration reform, immigration control. This means of saying we are afraid of those coming from Central and South America so much that we want to build a fence around the Rio Grande, or build a fence around the Mexican border in order to keep people out. That didn't work out too well. People got offended by it, so they backed down on that. But when it comes down to this, see, Mexico is a bordering nation, so people don't want to restrict the border, per se, in that aspect. But now we're talking about countries, Sierra Leone, countries like Nigeria, countries like Liberia, that are on the other side. Does this create an easier avenue for Republicans to say, we need border patrol, we need border control, and we can do this in a convenient way? All we got to do is tell them they can't come on the plane. All we got to do is limit the airlines that come from West Africa over here. And this has been something that a lot of people, even Democrats, are saying, you know what, it's an easier, that's a great idea. We don't have to build a fence. We don't have to try to shut people down, because West Africans are not not a building majority in this country like the Central and South American people are. So this should be very easy to do. We just shut down the planes, keep people coming from Africa, and everything's going to be okay. And this has been a growing murmur that has been coming on the past couple of weeks because of the Ebola crisis. Once Thomas Duncan came over with Ebola and died here at the hospital in Dallas, now everybody's afraid and panicking and saying, oh, all the Africans that are over here need to go back, and any African that wants to come over shouldn't be able to come over at all. And I got into a heated discussion a couple of days ago about a couple of people that felt that on both sides of the fence about how the Obama administration handled this particular outbreak in Texas. And a lot of those who were a part of the Obama administration who were who voted for Obama, who were in favor of a lot of policies that Obama put in, including the Affordable Care Act, are now jumping on the fact that saying, you know what, maybe I should vote for these Republicans because it might not be a bad idea to shut down these borders and shut down these planes, because obviously the Democrats don't want to do that. And this is the fear factor that they wanted to do. They wanted to plant the seed in there, and the seed has been planted to the point where it's alive over a small sample of people that have contracted the virus. And yes, I have been talking about this particular topic for the past couple of weeks, and I'm talking about it in a sense that we have to make sure that we are accountable for what we have to do as a nation. I'm not saying that the president and the president administration did the best job it could have in alerting people about Ebola in this country. It's been going on for several years, but it's also in the past 7 or 8 months, we have seen the progression of what's going on in Western Africa. And it should be, it should have been addressed, it should have been spoken about a little stronger back in May, back in June, back in July, and not be a reactive response. Now, to the president's credit, back in June, he did say in a speech that there is a growing epidemic in Western Africa, and we as a nation be aware of this and make sure we open our eyes to what's going on in other parts of the world when it comes down to this, because if we do not take care of these countries in Western Africa, then it will have a broader impact across the world. This is something that the president said back in June, but this was widely and grossly ignored by the media at that particular time. Why is that? Because the Republicans did not have a sense of how to add this into a platform, because it was a West African thing. It didn't affect America at that time, so they said, why bother with this, because it's not a big deal. So what if a couple thousand people in Western Africa have this virus that's been going on for 40 years? It's not affecting Americans. And when the president's talking about this, he's just really talking to other people in the world. He's not talking to Americans. That's what the Republican Party was thinking back in June, back in July. So this was a brushed over topic. The Democrats who are running for Congress didn't think about this because of the fact that, once again, they feel their constituents wouldn't care about this because it's a Western African thing. So since it was a Western African thing, why focus on this? No, this is something that on the Democratic side was saying, okay, the president is reaching out on a global scale, and we'll let him do his thing with the global scale, and we'll just concentrate on how well the economy is doing, how the unemployment's going down, and how the Republicans are stopping things in Congress. And those are the two platforms. The Democrats were kind of coasting into this election. The Republicans were scrambling to try to find that one thing. And now all the money that you're going to see in the next 2 weeks on your television sets are going to be Republican-based. I guarantee you that's what's going to happen. The Republicans and these PACs are going to put as much money as possible into the battleground states. And for those who may not know where the battleground states are, that you'll find out when you see these commercials coming. Of course, North Carolina is one of these battleground states. North Carolina was for years a strong Republican state. So that strong Republican state has pretty much tipped to a Democrat state because of the influx of Latinas and influx of Africans that are in North Carolina as well. People don't realize that there's a strong and growing African population in North Carolina, especially in Raleigh, Durham, Charlotte, in those areas, because of HBCUs have actually created an influx of Africans, especially West Africans, in those particular areas. So this is kind of hitting home for North Carolina, saying, okay, we have all these Africans in here, and we were ignoring them for a long time, but now we have to figure out, okay, how can we focus on them? How can we focus this in certain ways? So the Republicans are taking it, okay, we got all these Africans here in North Carolina, we got to push them out. And the fear tactics of those that are lacking education, are, you know, the pro-life, pro-gun, the ultra-conservative Republicans are now looking at this saying, oh, yeah, let's galvanize together and make sure we vote so that way we can vote these Africans back to Africa. And this is what's going on. And these states are really, really strong. What was a safe Democrat is now in the border. North Carolina, Louisiana, one of those states that has a real toss-up when it comes down to the fact of who can dominate this particular state, the Democrats or the Republicans, when it comes down to congressional votes. Now, Louisiana is one of those states that has been pushing about border control and immigration for years, so now there's another avenue that they can use for that particular aspect. You have Arkansas, same thing. Arkansas feeds in from Texas, and Arkansas has a very ultra-conservative platform. So what that means is that there's a big push there when it comes down to the economy, yes, but Ebola brings it into health care. And that's why Arkansas is a critical state, because they have a very poor population. They have a population that needs that health care. So now if Republicans can build a platform saying that, oh, well, you see, Obamacare is not going to help you if you have Ebola. If you have Ebola and you have Obamacare, you're going to die. That's the platform that they're doing in Arkansas, and this is resonating with the voters out there to galvanize and say, you know what, we have to think about this. So those two states right there, those three states, North Carolina, Louisiana, and Arkansas, may be the tipping point of Congress. And if that happens, if these particular races are based off of the Ebola incident that's happened in Texas, that's based off of the fear factor of Ebola, then we're going to have a big problem when it comes down to Congress. Congress is really going to get in there. They're going to go full board on trying to shut down borders, to create this immigration reform where the Central and South America are going to be affected. But what they're going to do, they're going to lead off by talking about these Africans need to be sent back to Africa. They're going to cut down the amount of visas and the amount of student visas that Western Africans have coming in here. This is a major impact right here, America. This is something that you cannot take lightly when it comes down to midterm elections, because if the Republican Party dominates both the Senate and the House, then the president is considered powerless over the last 2 years of his administration. And nothing will get done, because all they're going to do, they're going to block everything that the president wants to do until they get their person in for the 2016 election. And we have to realize that Ebola fear is smoke and mirrors when it comes down to the electorate, when it comes down to the election process. Now, should we be concerned about Ebola? Yes, absolutely we should be concerned about Ebola. Should we be cautious in how we focus on Ebola? Yes, because of the fact that there are reasons to believe that the CDC is trying to control the areas of where Ebola is hitting. That is obvious. That is something that is not fiction. That is fact. We had a person on a boat out in the middle of the ocean with 3,000 people, majority of Americans on there, that potentially could have been contaminated. It came back today that she was negative, but their threat was out there. You had the one nurse that flew back and forth from Cleveland, and the plane wasn't decontaminated for 2 or 3 days. And the areas that they were going were very high urban areas. So is that a coincidence? Probably not. Should that be the writing aspect of the political process this year? I really don't think so, but if you're desperate, when people are desperate, people will go after anything in order to make sure that they can win. And that's what they're doing right now. They're kicking, they're fighting, they're screaming in order to try to see if they can win and be successful. Now, I have a few minutes left. Anybody wants to call in, have any questions, any comments on these races, especially in North Carolina, Give us a call, 347-850-1228. This is the Rise TV Show, Blog Talk Radio, Toyland Productions, Toyland Entertainment. And we're talking about Vote or Die, and it's talking about the midterm elections, and we have to reemphasize once again, it's very important to go out there and vote. If you do not want to stand in line at the polls, vote now, vote early, and the early voting is coming out. It's going to be rolling out within this week. If you're in the Commonwealth of Virginia, you'll be able to vote tomorrow. So that is very important that you do that. If you're in Maryland, you'll be able to vote on Thursday for early voting. In North Carolina, that will be available next week. So you have to make sure that you know where you're going to vote and how you're voting. So know where your polling station is if you're going to go to the polls. Don't assume that you are going to the right polling station because then your vote might not count. So find out all that information now so that way you know exactly where you have to go and know what time frame is best for your particular district. If you know that people typically go out early in the morning, a lot of times that's an older population that goes out early in the morning, then go out later in the afternoon after work. If you know that you have a younger population that will try to vote after work, then try to find that midday during lunch in order to vote. These little things are important. Don't be discouraged if the lines are long, because the lines may be long this year. We're hoping that the lines are long, so that means that the population that is predominantly Democrat are coming out to vote. A lot of times when there's a low voter turnout, that means Republicans are out there. And not trying to play Democrat or Republican, I'm just saying look for the best people for the job. You know the Republicans are on an agenda to get the president into a powerless mode. So you got to take that into consideration. If you want to see things being done, then you have to look at which party is going to make sure that things are done more. And that's what it comes down to. There's a lot of senators that are battling for their position right now that nobody thought that would happen. So you have to make sure that you're doing the right thing when it comes down to that aspect. Also, but the main thing is Congress. Congress is the biggest thing that the House side of Congress is the biggest important part of this particular midterm election. Because if the House stays Republican, then nothing will get done, and we're going to be doing this back and forth for the next 2 years. So put it like this. Do you want to have that back and forth of, I got the ball, so I'm going to hold on to the ball as long as I can? Or do you want it where there's a balance of power saying that, okay, the Democrats are going to put things through, the Republicans are going to put things through? A compromised Congress. Sounds hard to think about, but if by chance there is a slight balance in Democrats and Republicans, the Democrats have that slight lead, then the two or three Democrats that typically vote in the middle will be deciding factors. So things will actually get done if there is a balance. It doesn't have to be predominantly Democrat, but if it's dead even, then more things will get done in Congress, and that's what we need to focus on. And once again, I thank each and every one of you for listening to Rise TV Show, Blog Talk Radio, Toyland Productions, Toyland Entertainment. Please tune in tomorrow for Love Talk. We're talking about the homecoming dance, continuing with the theme of homecoming, talking about how we dance around the feelings and emotions that we have in our relationships, and we're incorporating this with the homecoming theme. So once again, Love Talk comes on tomorrow night, same time, 11 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time, 8 o'clock in the West Coast, and we're really going to try to build off of this homecoming theme and move it for the end of the month with Love Talk. Also, tune in next week with the Rise TV Show. We're going to continue focusing on the political landscape in election season. So that way we have a better understanding of who's running and what are the big key issues in this election time. So until next time, this is the Rise TV Show, and we'll talk.
Self-respect, intellect, increasing our knowledge to keep ourselves in check. Positive.